Once again, this is Jim Rao, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. If you have your Bible there, turn it to Ephesians 6, and we're going to be talking about the pieces of the gospel armor. We started last week, if you were with us last week, and we took up one of the pieces of the gospel armor, but I'm going to go back and review quickly to get us into this message. And we'll start in Ephesians 6:11, where Paul admonishes the Ephesians in verse 11, "Put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil," that is to say, the schemes of the devil. And so Paul instructs us to be ready to stand up against the schemes of the devil. And let me tell you, brethren, if you don't know it already, if you haven't figured it out already, but if you are a born-again believer, if you have named the name of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you have confessed Him, and you are standing in the army of God, and you're ready to do battle against the enemy, the enemy already knows that, and he is ready to do battle against you. And Satan is the great deceiver. He is the master of all lies. He is the murderer from the beginning, and he came to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said in John 10:10 that the thief, that is Satan, he came to steal, and he comes to destroy, and he will do everything that he can to steal from you. He'll try to steal your marriage. He'll try to steal your business. He'll try to steal your finances. He'll try to steal your salvation and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Anything that you have accomplished in the kingdom or are attempting to accomplish now or have a plan to accomplish in the future, the devil will try to steal it from you because he is the great deceiver and he is the liar. He even tried to steal the throne of God. If you'll look in Isaiah 14, he tried to ascend to the throne of God and take over God's throne. And so the devil has not gotten any smarter in those years, but he is the master of deceit. And he will try to deceive you. He sends his familiar spirits to track you, to follow your family, to follow your children. And he follows our families through the generations. And because of this, he knows our weaknesses. He knows where we're vulnerable. He knows where to set the traps. He knows how to tempt us and to get us to fail and to get us to stumble. And so Paul says, be aware of the wiles or the schemes of the devil. And so we can pray to the Lord. Lord, give us wisdom. Give us wisdom. Give us knowledge of the evil one. Give us understanding of you, Lord, so we know what weapons to use at what time, what gifts to use at what time, and so we know how to withstand the wiles and the schemes of the devil. And then in verse 13 in Ephesians 6, Paul says, therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Well, Paul is saying, it's time to stand up, Christians. It's time to stand. And this is my message for you today, out there listening today. It's time for us to take a stand here in America. We can't retreat any longer. We can't go back into the caves any longer. We have to take a stand. We have to take a stand on the truth, and we have to speak the gospel out over the airwaves, just as I'm doing here on this radio broadcast, out over the TV networks and the internet and every way, every media, Facebook, Twitter, every kind of social media. We have to take a stand and pray in the Spirit that the Lord will have His way here in America, that the Lord will put people on their knees and on their faces before Him, and that the Holy Spirit will pierce people's hearts, pierce people's hardened hearts, and put them on their faces and let them repent and confess and come to the Lord and acknowledge Him as their Lord and Savior. And so Paul goes on then to talk about the pieces of the gospel armor, and he individually names the pieces. In verse 14 he starts, and so therefore, having girded your waist or your loins with truth, Paul says, strap on that belt of truth around your waist. And Jesus is the truth. We talked about this last week, that Jesus said, I am the truth, and I am the way, and I am the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. And then Jesus went on to say in John 8:31, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Beloved, if you want to walk in freedom, if you want to walk in freedom on this earth, you have to know the truth of Jesus Christ. If you want to be set free from your sin, you have to be free in the truth of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. There's many people out there preaching today, even in Christian churches and in pulpits, preaching to the faithful, and they're saying there are many ways to the kingdom of God, there are many ways to the Father, and Jesus said, no, there's only one way. You have to come through me if you're going to get to the Father, and I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life, and if you come through me, you will get to the Father. In other words, Jesus said, I am the key to salvation. When you confess me before men, Jesus said, I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven. And so there is no salvation. There is no other name under heaven whereby we can be saved. There is no other salvation. Your good works aren't going to save you. Your attempt to live a righteous life aren't going to save you. Your living a moral life isn't going to save you, and so there's only one thing that's going to save you, and it's by grace you are saved, and it comes when you confess the name of Jesus Christ before men. And so that is what saves you. You follow it up with baptism. You are immersed to show the world as a testimony to the world that you are now identified with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and as a witness to the world that this is who your allegiance is with and what has taken place in your heart. And so as you do that, as you witness and testify to the world through baptism, then you start to walk, you begin your walk in your Christian life. And so again, Jesus said, I am the truth. And so you gird your waist, you strap on that belt of truth, and the truth shall set you free. If you are burdened down with sin, if you are under the weight and operating under the weight of sin, you need to get clean before God. You need to repent of that sin. You need to get right with the Lord. Get on your knees, get on your face, and cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, set me free from this sin. If you have to, fast for 3 days. If you have to, fast for 7 days, whatever it takes. God will give you the strength. He will give you the strength. If you're under the bondage of pornography or homosexuality or drug addiction or alcohol addiction, you cry out to the Lord. You get serious with the Lord and cry out to Him. He will set you free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Well, the second piece of gospel armor in verse 14b, it says, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And that breastplate was a piece of armor that covered their breast, covered their liver, their heart, their stomach, the main organs of the body. And of course, your heart is the seat of your passion, the seat of your emotion, and also the heart is linked in Scripture, linked in the Greek lexicon with the mind. The heart and the mind many times are spoken of interchangeably, and so the heart is where the issues of life spring forth. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, or guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. And Matthew 22:37, Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your mind, and all of your soul. And so your heart is where your passion comes from. That's where your desire initiates to do things on this earth, to accomplish things in your life. It comes from your heart. We say you have a heart to do something, or you gave it all your heart. And so from the heart springs forth the issues of life. And so also when your heart becomes corrupt, and when your heart becomes full of deceit, and from your heart comes lies and murderous thoughts, then those well up and become behavioral patterns and become habitual patterns of behavior in your life. And so the heart becomes very wicked, and the heart can become very stony, and the heart can become calloused to the Word of God. And so we need to keep our hearts tender. We need to keep our hearts guarded. We need to keep our hearts protected. And as you do that, then as your heart stays tender, you will be tender to listen to the voice of the Lord. You'll be tender to hear the Lord when He speaks to you. You'll be tender to hear that Holy Spirit when He speaks to you in that still, small voice. And your heart will be sensitive and you will cry. You will cry at the things that hurt the heart of God. You'll cry at the things that the Father is weeping over, and you'll have a passion to do those things. You'll have a passion then to take care of the widows and the orphans, those things that the Father cares about, the lost, those that are condemned to hell, those that don't know Jesus Christ. You will start to have a sensitivity to those things that the Father cares about and that the Father loves and that the Father has as His primary desires, as His will here on this earth. You'll start to understand the will of the Father and the will of Him here on this earth and how He wants to work through you and how He wants to work through the body of Christ. And you'll start to be sensitive to that and understand the will of the Father. In verse 15, Paul goes on to say, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And so he says, put the shoes of the gospel of peace on your feet, so everywhere you go, you are a peacemaker. Everywhere you go, instead of bringing strife and instead of bringing turmoil, you bring peace into that place. And beloved, everywhere a Christian goes, when you come into a room, you should bring peace into that room. There should be a change in the atmosphere, and you should not bring strife. You should not bring argument. You should not bring contentious words. You should not bring quarrelsome words. You should bring peace, and you should bring a joy with you and a love for those in that room. And so you will change the atmosphere just by your presence there. You can change the atmosphere. And of course, a gentle answer turns away wrath, and sometimes people will challenge you and challenge us as Christians on our theology, on our doctrine, on certain scriptures, individual verses of the Bible. And the Bible tells us that a gentle answer turns away wrath. And so many times I've been challenged, many times I've been asked about certain scripture, or there's been an attempt to draw me into an argument. And many times I'll just say, well, I'll pray about that, brethren. I'll pray about that. Let's meet again in a few years and we'll talk that over. And in the meantime, you pray for me, I'll pray for you, and we'll see who has the validation of God with His doctrine, who has the validation from God with the words that He speaks. In other words, God will validate you by giving you strength. He will validate you by giving you territory, by giving you authority, when your doctrine is alignment with God, when your words are in alignment with God. But many, many times you can't accomplish anything by trying to argue with people or win debates, and dueling swords very seldom accomplishes anything. I'm not speaking against apologetics. I think there's a time and a place for apologetics. But many times we can't do any more in the flesh than what we've already done. And so at that time, we just need to back off, give a gentle answer, and say, we'll pray about it, and we'll pray for you, and let the Holy Spirit then contend for us, and let the Holy Spirit pierce people's hearts and convict them of sin and righteousness and judgment. And so as you put the shoes of the gospel of peace on your feet, wherever you go, you're going to be taking territory for the kingdom. Wherever you go, you're going to bring the peace of Jesus Christ, the peace that passes all understanding. You're going to be bringing that into the presence of those to whom you speak and to those to whom you minister to. Jesus said, "And my peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Therefore, not as the world gives do I give unto you. And then let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Well, there's so many people walking around today in fear. There's so many people walking around in anxiety, and their hearts are troubled. Their minds are full of anxiety. They're worried. They're worried to death. They're taking anti-anxiety drugs. They're taking antidepressant drugs. They're taking all kinds of medications to cope with their anxiety, to cope with their fears, to cope with their fear of the future, of the things that they don't know about that are coming. And so God wants you to know, brethren, that He can give you peace, and that peace will give you joy, that peace will give you understanding, and it will give you a contentment to enjoy each and every day. Yes, there will be days that will be full of trials and full of testing, but James says in the first chapter of James, take joy in all your trials. Take joy in your tribulations. And so even those things that test us, even those things that stretch our faith to the limit, you can take joy in those things and you can say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for sending that trial to me, that faith test to me. Thank you for laying that bridge out in front of me. And I walked across it by faith. I didn't shirk. I didn't run away in fear. I went across that bridge of faith. Speak to that mountain. Mountain, you move. Mountain, you move. And go into the sea and watch the Lord work in your life. Watch Him move those mountains and destroy those mountains in your life. And so as you put on the shoes of the gospel of peace, the Lord says that I will bless your feet. Bless your feet. How blessed are the feet of those who bring good news. And so as you take the good news of the gospel to those who are perishing, those in the lost and dying world that don't know Jesus Christ, as you put on those shoes and go, the Lord will bless your feet. I've had people pray over my feet before I go to Africa. And they say, the Lord wants to bless your feet. The Lord wants to keep your feet strong because you're going to be walking a lot. You're going to be going into territory you've never been in before. And so the Lord wants to bless your feet and strengthen your feet and prepare you for the battle ahead. Well, in verse 16, Paul says, above all, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. And so we can picture Satan is always shooting his darts at us. There's always demons around. If you can't see them, you can be assured that they're there anyway. The Lord doesn't always open up our spiritual eyes and let us know when the demons are around shooting the fiery darts at us. But I can assure you, brethren, if you are a believer, that He is shooting darts at you. And it's maybe not just one demon. It may be five, or it may be 10. It may be a whole host of them. And they will do everything they can to try to prevent you from moving forward in the kingdom. They will do everything they can to try to cover you with their slimy arrows and their stench. And so as you put on that shield of faith, that shield of faith is held on your arm, and it goes before you. The faith goes before you, and it steps out ahead of you. It's on your arm, and it's out ahead of your body, because that's how faith operates in our life. We have to operate by faith. We don't operate by sight. We don't wait until we see everything happen to believe that it's going to happen. We believe by faith, and faith is the shield that goes ahead of us. Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. For those who come to Him, those who come to God, must know that He is, and He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And so as you attempt to please God, as you move forward in your calling, into your destiny, God says that you have to have a certainty and know that He is. He is who He says He is. He says, I am the great I am. You have to get that down into your spirit, that God is there with you, that He will never forsake you, He will never abandon you, He will never leave you, and not only that, He will be there with you, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And God knows your heart. He knows if you're diligently seeking Him. He knows if you care about Him, and so He will reward your seeking Him if you are sincere, and He will reward you because He knows the desires of your heart. Verse 17, take the helmet of salvation to protect your mind, the helmet of salvation to protect your thoughts. That's where the battlefield is in your mind and in your thoughts. It starts in your mind. Every temptation starts with one thought, and the devil comes to you and he tries to convince you that God is a liar, that God is withholding something from you that you need, that somehow the devil's plan for you is a better plan. And that's the way the devil operates. He starts by planting seeds of doubt in our mind and having us to believe that somehow God is lying to us, that He's withholding something from us that we could enjoy, something that we could benefit from, that somehow God is a trickster and He's withholding from us. And let me tell you, beloved, God wants you to be blessed. He cares about you. He loves you. He is not a miser. He's not stingy. And He's not a trickster. And He loves you, and He wants to see you move forward in the kingdom. and He wants to see you move forward in your calling and your destiny. Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. So you put that helmet of salvation on to protect your thoughts and to protect your mind and to assure yourself that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that through Him is salvation. And then Paul finishes up in that verse 17, "And the sword of the Spirit, pray in the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." And as you take that sword of the Spirit, that's the offensive piece of weaponry, that sword of the Spirit, and that sword is sharp, and it is piercing. It is sharp enough to cut between the bones and the marrow, and piercing as into the heart. And Hebrews 4:12 says this, "For the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide asunder the soul and the spirit, the bones and the marrow, even to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart." And then Paul closes up there saying, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." And so we carry that sword before us. We go into battle knowing that we can pierce, knowing that we can cut. And as we carry that into battle with our sword in one hand and our shield of faith in the other, we're praying continuously. Paul says, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, "Pray without ceasing." And as you do that, as you go into battle with your armor strapped on, a shield of faith in your arm, and the sword of the Spirit in your hand, then you are ready to defeat the enemy in your life. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry, and we invite each and every one of you to come alongside this ministry to support us. As we speak again, I am in Africa preaching in crusades and revivals, and so we invite everyone to come alongside and join in the battle and get behind this ministry to carry the gospel to the nations. And we praise the Lord for the provision. We praise the Lord for all of the people who have donated and come alongside this ministry, and we invite you also to expand the territory of this radio broadcast and to expand the territory of this ministry. And we invite you to do that. Stay tuned for contact information coming up here in just a minute. Well, God bless you today. Thank you very much for listening. Tune in again next week.